Welcome to Mind Body Soul Radio, broadcasting from New York City with Mind Body Soul Yoga Studio founder and mystic mama, Alyssa Snow. Awakening, healing, yoga. We're getting real and we're getting gritty because, as they say, no mud, no lotus. And now your host, Alyssa Snow.
Hey everybody, this is Alyssa Snow with another episode of Mind Body Soul Radio. Let's all come together energetically and in our hearts with a quick invocation. I honor the Father, the intellect, the healthy problem-solving psychological mind. I honor my Father, all fathers before him and all fathers now. I honor those qualities within him and me and all. I honor the Mother, the nurturing, unconditional love of a full heart. I honor my mother, all mothers before her and all mothers now. I honor those qualities within her and me and all. I honor the teacher and the carriers of knowledge that becomes wisdom. The teachers that come in all forms and all situations, I honor them. I honor the teacher and the wisdom within me and all around me. Life is a teacher and I am its student. I honor God and the loving energy of intentional creation. I honor creation in its natural time. I honor the creation of myself and life all around me. I honor creation as an expression of love. I invite God, the Holy Spirit, angels, and all loving beings of the light in my day, in your day, in this practice, in this podcast. Please help infuse my mind and my heart with the light of my soul so I may know to surrender instead of control. So something I wanted to talk about today, and actually I think that we may end up having quite a few episodes about this subject matter just because I'm seeing a lot of this in individuals coming into the yoga studio and also in the world. And that's the muddiest of mud, right? Trauma. And so one of the things I think that we've realized in the last week or two is that pain is everywhere. And we're seeing that in these sort of archetypes, if you will, of these celebrity suicides where Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain, these people that seemingly have it all, right? From the outside looking in, we see a perfect life. We see a career that is exceptionary. We see, is that a word? Exceptionary? I don't think so. Extraordinary. I think I mixed extraordinary and exceptional in one word. It's a cool word, exceptionary, but it's not a word. Well, careers that are extraordinary. You know, families that appear healthy and happy. But we don't know, do we? We don't know what's going on inside someone's heart. Because oftentimes people don't show us, right? We're seeing an external expression. And oftentimes in our culture, that external expression of somebody's internal experience isn't, they don't match. And so we've start to come to this place in our country where we're literally at a 30-year high of suicides. It's astonishing. Did you know that suicides is the 10th leading cause of death in our country? There's 123 suicides a day. And you know, for every suicide that succeeds, there are 25 that were attempted. It's extraordinary. It's horrifying. What's going on? Why? I've been asking myself this, why? And you know, there's a lot of discussion about this out there in the media and social media and mainstream media and maybe even non-mainstream media, whatever that is. And we can blame our culture, I suppose. You know, it's been proven that, I mean, it's been proven to my satisfaction, that a culture of consumption doesn't lead to happiness. And that just getting more and getting more and getting more, or doing more doesn't fill your soul. And I think we're starting to catch on to that. In fact, that sort of lifestyle creates stress. And stress-related diseases are pretty much one of the top causes of death in our country. But one of the things that we're seeing more and more of are it's trauma and survivors of trauma. And the tricky thing about that is that what that looks like on an individual level is just so different for so many different people. And so let's sort of do some defining, if you will. Trauma in general, okay, is generally defined as some sort of psychological or emotional response to an event or an experience that is deeply distressing or disturbing. So there's your overall umbrella blanket definition of trauma. And we could break it down a little more refined. PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. This is often occurs after a person has been through a terrifying event or an ordeal. So this is an instance or an ordeal. Veterans who've been in war, have seen combat, or have seen horrible things, often suffer from PTSD. Those that are the victim of violence, sort of one-time violence, rape. PTSD often is the result of that. And then you move towards things like complex trauma. And complex trauma, well, this is the result of something that happens to someone repeatedly. Something that harms someone repeatedly. So this could be domestic violence, right? Domestic abuse that's ongoing. Abuse for children. Molestation. Dark stuff, man. Dark stuff. Right? This happens. We often don't want to think about it because it's so dark, but people are suffering from these type of things every day. Every day. And then you move towards developmental trauma. Now this is where it gets really tricky, because developmental trauma is when a baby, maybe ages 1 to 3, experiences something. It could be neglect, abuse, abandonment, something that disconnects that child from their caregiver or creates a state of fear in that small being. It results in what's called developmental trauma. And so how does that show up, right? Somebody grows up and they've had things happen to them. And then what? Right? And then what? What are the sort of symptoms do you see that we ordinarily try to heal or try to address the symptoms, but not the source? Addiction, self-harming behaviors such as cutting, eating disorders, anger, persistent and unrelenting depression, unregulated or unpredictable, if you will, emotions, physical symptoms, right? Chronic pain, chronic imbalances, feelings like guilt and shame and hopelessness that never seem to go away. These are type of the symptoms that people with trauma are living with every single day. And so our society, our Western medical society, which has, look, I'm not in any way, shape, or form going to be critical of Western medicine. I think that Western medicine, for the most part, is a gift and has added a lot of good to the world. But often what happens is Western medicine thinks that it is the end-all be-all in terms of solutions. And so many times with many of these symptoms, people are medicated, right? Here, take a pill so you don't feel your depression anymore, or take a shot so you don't crave alcohol anymore. And so many of these symptoms, they're being diagnosed as things like, you know, personality disorder, or I don't know, depression, anxiety, personality disorder, obsessive compulsive disorder, attachment disorder. My foster daughter had attachment disorder. When she was, well, she went into foster care when she was 5 years old. And I can't really say why, but, you know, obviously things, something bad happened to her that brought the child services department to remove her from her home. So obviously something quite bad happened to her. And over the next couple of years, when she was, say, five, she was just five when she got to me, five, six, seven, she had extreme PTSD, extreme attachment disorder, which really meant that she was struggling to form healthy attachments with her caregivers. So she was either too attached or not attached at all. And so what happened? You know, what's happening to people? Why isn't just medication working? We didn't just medicate my daughter, right? In fact, we didn't medicate her at all. We brought her to a cognitive behavioral therapist that specialized in trauma. And it was very, very interesting, the protocol that she was taught as a child in order to heal from her trauma. And it started to educate me on what's happening to us, to our bodies, when we have experienced trauma. And the importance here of the mind-body connection in healing it. And so when something happens to us, right, whether it's an event or an experience, ordeal, or something that's happened repeatedly, okay, our nervous system becomes frozen in that fight or flight aspect. So our autonomic nervous system has two pieces, right? There's that sympathetic nervous system, that fight or flight, right? This is what activates our entire body to get moving when we're in the jungle and we encounter a tiger. And our parasympathetic nervous system is often referred to as the sort of rest and digest. It is what allows us to be relaxed, like completely relaxed. And so in a perfect world, you know, we're in a jungle and we encounter a tiger. That's not a perfect world scenario, but you know what I mean. We encounter a tiger, our entire body and nervous system engages with cortisol, with all of the adrenaline and the stress hormones to bring our body into action. What action? Running. Running for our lives. We run for our lives. We're then safe. Danger is over. Our body goes back to its normal stasis, right? We start to relax. We start to release. And so that's the normal, if you will, function of our nervous system. But those that have experienced trauma, they don't have a normal expression of this. Instead, their nervous system is stuck on fight or flight. So what does that mean? It means that their bodies believe that they are in danger. Perpetual danger. And so the reactions to things will be from that place of fear or I'm in danger. And so what's happening then to their emotional body? You know, emotions regarding that event or events, grief, shame, fear, anger, just to name a few, they're often so painful and so intense that they become hidden or repressed. Or the other side of it, they're completely out of control. Why? Well, because there's something called shock, right? You go into shock and the emotional expression of your event, it just doesn't happen. It becomes stuck in the body. And then when it's stuck, thinking about a charge, right? You have an emotional charge that exists in your energetic field. And then what ends up happening is those emotional charges actually start to grow, because then there starts to become emotional loops, right? You're having emotions about your emotions. You have shame about your shame. You have anger about your anger. Feel sad that there's grief in you. And this just compounds the experience of repressed emotion. And oftentimes depression is caused by our inability to emote, express our emotions healthfully. Or even identify our emotions. Someone who has had extreme trauma may not be able to identify that the sensation in their chest is grief. It's just a really awful sensation to them. And so when my daughter was taken to this trauma protocol, this therapist who did cognitive behavioral therapy, one of the things that the very first things that she learned was what is a helpful thought and what is a not helpful thought, right? So to observe her thinking, she learned this at like 6 or 7 years old. It's absolutely phenomenal. To observe her thinking. And if she was feeling, you know, badly, to be able to go inward and feel her body. Where was she feeling sensations in her body? So we'd first say, where are you feeling it? Where's your body the loudest? My belly. Okay. What does that feeling in your belly feel like? What color is it? What is the texture? Right? Starting to become intimate. And then we start naming the emotion. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's fear. For a little one, you know, they don't necessarily have all of these names for the emotions, but we start with mad or sad, straight up. And then we start to identify the thoughts that go along with that feeling. I don't know, are your thoughts making that feeling bigger, or is it making that feeling smaller? So at a very young age, this trauma protocol started to teach my daughter how to regulate and observe her own emotional and psychological experience. And it took a fair amount of work at home as a child, right? She's a little girl, to practice that. And then after a year or so, her PTS scores were gone. And this doesn't mean that she doesn't have certain behaviors that are indicative of her trauma. But for the most part, she's now 10. She's a very healthy, well-adjusted, happy little girl. But what if she didn't get that help as a child. Because you want to know something? Most kids in foster care don't. And then even if you're an abused child and you don't get removed from your home and you're not in foster care and you're living in a family that has extreme problems that are resulting in trauma for the child, they grow up without any healing. And then what? Then they're suffering from all these symptoms. A trauma survivor gets stuck in an emotional feedback loop, oftentimes, increasing the pain in their emotional body rather than releasing it. So what do we do? What do we do? What do we do for our culture where there is so much pain? Well, first, in my opinion, we have to acknowledge it. We have to acknowledge that we have a problem. The medical world needs to acknowledge it. The yoga world is of course acknowledging it, because more and more I'm seeing, as a yoga studio owner and as a teacher, students coming through the doors who have become disillusioned with just the Western medical model, who've just sought to medicate. Right? Talk therapy and a pill. Let's move. Let's fix it. I'm not saying that talk therapy and a pill doesn't work for some people. It may very well. I don't know. But for most of the people that I encounter who come into the yoga studio seeking an alternative method to feel better, it's not working. A couple of episodes ago when we were talking about trauma with one of the women that I work with, and she had a rather dark story. She had severe complex and very likely developmental trauma. Now she's a 37-year-old woman beginning to unravel that. And she experiences all of these symptoms: addiction, self-harming, eating disorders, persistent and unresponsive depression, meaning unresponsive to medication, and many other things that they've tried, including ECT. Chronic guilt and shame and hopelessness. This is what leads people to kill themselves. When you have no hope, when you have such heavy, heavy emotions, such as guilt and shame and regret that just you can't see through. It's for those of us that don't have that experience, it's very difficult to conceive of it. But I think most of us have experienced a little bit of that. I've experienced depression. I've experienced what it feels like to be addicted to something. I've experienced what it feels like to feel hopeless. And so sometimes a medication can help get us off the couch. Right? An increase of serotonin, a little boost there, can help us get moving again, can help us start to help ourselves. And that's a good use for medication, right? To start to lift the energy so we can feel a little less hopeless, start to do things for ourselves that would make us feel better. And what would those things be, right? If you're suffering from one of these symptoms that may be a result of a deeper experience, a deeper harm done to your physical, emotional, and psychological matrix. Oh, that is you. What can you do? You know, it's interesting because I've been doing a lot of research on this lately and doing a lot of reading, a lot of research. Because what I'm seeing is that what is being recommended by, you know, the new peer-reviewed research for trauma, what's being recommended is not just one thing. right? Therapy, you know, absolutely. I'm a big fan of a therapeutic relationship for everybody and anybody, quite frankly, because we all need to feel support. We all need a mentor, a guide, a healer. Every one of us at periods of in our life will need this, especially someone who's recovering and surviving from a trauma. But then what else? Yoga. So of course I'm going to recommend yoga. So yoga and meditation. Well, yoga first, right? So yoga is going to help reconnect a person to their body. One of the things that happens when someone experiences a deep trauma is they desensitize or disconnect from their physical body, especially if harm was done to their physical body. So yoga helps to bring a person very gently back into the sensation of feeling their body, right? The good sensation of their body. The body feels good. The body feels safe, right? Here's where I feel my tension. Here's where I feel a little bit more space. Yoga begins the process of mending the nervous system. And so one of the things that yoga does just naturally is activates the parasympathetic nervous system, that rest and digest, that relaxation aspect of our nervous system. Yoga turns it on. And if somebody is experiencing the symptoms of trauma, their nervous system is stuck in fight or flight. And so yoga as a practice will bring that, will begin to bring that into balance. Meditation, mindfulness, right? So we begin to understand that we are not our thoughts. So someone with these symptoms that we're talking about doesn't really necessarily matter the trauma, but oftentimes someone who has experienced trauma as a child has an extremely violent self-dialogue. And if you don't realize that you're not your thoughts, and if you don't realize that you can sort of detach from your thinking, you're going to believe those thoughts. You're going to believe those thoughts when they tell you that you're worthless, that you have nothing to live for, that there's no hope of ever being happy. You will believe them. But if you have a practice of mindfulness and meditation, you are beginning to detach from those thoughts and you can see them and observe them as just thoughts, painful thoughts, but thoughts. Does that mean that somebody who has that skill is always going to be able to detach from their negative self-dialogue? No, because it takes practice and effort and time. One of the things that I've come to realize is the importance of movement. And in fact, rhythmic freestyle movement when it comes to releasing stored and latent emotions in the body. When we learn the chakra system in yoga, we talk about the second chakra as the seat of our creativity and our sexuality, but also the element here is water. And emotions tend to be dominated by the second chakra, and emotions are meant to move, right? We're meant to experience an emotion and then let it move through us. It's not meant to be experienced over and over and over again. A healthy emotion is one that is felt and then released. But someone who has suffered from trauma doesn't have that experience, right? So we need to move it, and movement. Yoga can help, a vinyasa yoga practice, absolutely. But more so, the feeling of movement, music, rhythm, something like five rhythms, incredibly healing, incredibly. For not just releasing the stored emotions, but for accessing joy. which is always incredibly difficult to find for someone suffering from these symptoms of trauma. And that somatic therapy is another really phenomenal tool where you work with a therapist who helps you to identify where you're holding emotional energy in the body. What that emotion is. Can we name it? Right? Can we feel where shame lives in the body? Can we feel that shame? And then let it go. Ultimately, with trauma, the hard part that I notice with those that I'm working with is the only way out of it is through it. You have to feel the emotions. You have to. And that's overwhelming for many who have been used to numbing them for most of their lives. So these mind-body practices of yoga, of meditation, of movement, of really completely and fully embodying your body and your mind are key to healing. And so I don't know, right, how we can change our culture besides changing ourselves. We're this beautiful collective of souls. And so the only way to shift a collective energy is to change the individual energy and to heal ourselves. It's the only way. And I have a really strong opinion about this, actually. I feel that those that are suffering from trauma and that are in the throes and in the weeds, in the muddiest of the mud, healing this, can come out the other side and be the most amazing teachers and healers and speakers to inspire those that are currently in that mud and give them hope. And give them a sense of feeling that there is a light at the end of this tunnel. Because that is what most trauma survivors lack. Hope. That it could be different. You're going to hear about this more and more from me because it's something that I'm getting really deeply aware of and deeply interested in. As a healer, as a businesswoman, how can I serve more people that are suffering in this way? This is a question that I ask myself every day. And so I invite you, if you hear yourself in this podcast, if you hear yourself and you are feeling hopeless, and you are feeling shame about how you feel, reach out to me, Alyssa, Alyssa, at mindbodysoulyoga.com. I have resources for you. I can help. Mind Body Soul Yoga Studio can help. Even if you just need a loving hug, I got that too. But I'm happy to share whatever it is I know, and whoever it is I know, that can be a resource to you as you navigate these really, really, really muddy waters of healing from a trauma. And thank you so much for listening. And please don't hesitate to reach out. Until next time. Namaste. Sat Nam. Peace out.